Brother Michael Carter will be giving the first lesson tonight, and I want you to continue to pray for him as he stands before us. He does have copies of his lesson up here for you. Brother Michael is a member here at Fairview Memorial, and I have a great deal of love and respect for this young man, and the church here at Fairview Memorial, I know, has a great deal of love for him as well. And we always enjoy the times that that we hear him preach. And I was very excited that the committee chose him this year to be one of our teachers in the winter Bible study. So I'm going to ask him to come at this time and give his lesson. And you keep him in your prayers tonight as he stands before us. God bless you.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very humbled that I was chosen. I never could have believed it. They did not choose a very smart person to present the lesson, but that just encouraged me to look towards the Lord even more for his help. We have tonight and all through January a very important series of lessons, and I thank you for your attendance tonight, and I thank that my father for being here, and he's going to present a lesson, and I thank all the teachers that will be traveling from long distances, but we're looking at dangers within the church. Dangers within the church. Enormous, enormous problem. I want to go ahead and start before I bring this by speaking too much. I do encourage you to pick up one of my study notes pamphlets. If you follow along with it, you'll be able to understand me and my poor speech a whole lot better. So if you do not have a study packet, please go ahead and use this time to come and get one. My topic tonight, the topic that was given to me tonight to give to you is lacking love. Lacking love. And we're talking about dangers within the church. So that means us. And unfortunately, I'm going to be speaking on how we have a lack of love. If we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 24, 12, verse 12, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. That's a thought for my entire lesson. Let's go ahead and look at some of the definitions that I have. I'm going to read to you two before we get started so you can get a feel for the handout that I gave y'all. The first one is agape, and agape is the covenant love of God for man, as well as the human love for God. And that's a Greek word. And the second I want to point out is another Greek word, phileo, which is defined friendship or affection. Remember our our topic verse tonight is Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Because of lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. Society outside of our churches has made it abundantly clear how the word love is to be used. The world wants us to use love in a very specific way and has defined that. What does the world have to back up the word love? The answer is nothing, because Jesus is love. The world has nothing besides a small sentiment read aloud on a birthday card to back up the word love. God has taught those who listen to him how to love. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." When the end of the world comes, a single grammatical error, in my opinion, is what will make the word love grow cold. And is a danger that has crept inside our church, preventing us from keeping his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15, "If ye love agape me, keep my commandments." And that's Jesus talking. If left unattended, this error will cause people to forget what love is. So imagine yourselves in a world without how are yous, no talk about the weather, no polite small talk of any kind, no handshakes or hugs, no interpersonal contact of any kind. A world without testifying in church, a world without singings or fellowship meals. Imagine a world without churches and assembly or inner hearts. I'm talking about a world without the possibility of future personal relationships with Jesus and ultimately the end of the world. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have a fervent, intense love, agape, among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." Matthew 24:12, "Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold." Until the fall of man, we knew love in a very personal way. And we knew how to love, but lacking love is a consequence of disobeying God and eating from the tree. After Adam's act of disobedience, all of mankind. All of mankind began this journey to love, to be loved, and move closer to the ultimate source of love. In today's society, a prevalent statement among church members is, "I love you." But do we really know what love is? I really want you to think about this. Quick question. In all of my years, have I ever stopped to think what love really is? The modern use of the word love simply means I really, really like. I really, really like. Here's my example. I have this new blanket I absolutely love. It's warm, just the right size to keep me warm from head to toe, and it's my favorite color. I love my new blanket. Or how about this one? When I'm asked to pray the benediction, I also often close in, "We love you, God. Amen." For me, this is a very personal way to close a prayer. Quick question. Do you know what I mean? When I close a prayer like this, does a visitor know what I mean? The answer is the visitor is saying this group of people really, really likes God. Not quite the same as agape. This instance of love was spoken by Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you." Let me read that again. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Quick question. Do you think Jesus was saying, "I want you to really, really like your enemies"? Can anyone here define the ultimate source of love? As I read earlier, agape, the covenant love of God for humans, as well as the human love for God, Wikipedia. Agape is one of many uses of the word love. Very confusing, huh? Even the Bible uses the word love in very different and very specific ways. Do you think I was saying I agape in my new blanket? Let's take a look at a biblical example. Let's look at Jonah's story. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh on repentance, and or they'll be destroyed. What did Jonah do? He boarded a boat, sailed off, and tried to hide from God. Wasn't very successful. The waves dashed high. He was thrown overboard. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and spat out. He eventually made it to Nineveh and preached 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And then he left the city and sat afar in plain view, so you can see the city. And he sat underneath a wilted tree, and he said to himself, and looked. Jonah showed a lack of love, over and over again. Quick question. Why do we have to get to this point? Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Now that we have an example of lacking love, I want us to identify love so we can butt into the norm that is societal love and break the chain of learned helplessness I call the lifetime effect. Stopping the incorrect, sad, deceptive, gross misuse of the word love that makes the humanistic circle. That misuse seems minute, but is wreaking havoc inside of our churches, to the point that we do not know how to worship God. We do not know how to love Him. We do not know how to love our brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 26. You can study, please study that whole verse on your own. We're going to be looking at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. 1 John chapter 18. And 19. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 5, if therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ. This minute idiosyncrasy, the misuse of the word love, this small minute idiosyncrasy is preventing a lot of people from being saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter on love. Great, great reading. 8 through 10. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I have no doubt, that all of us show love from time to time, or perhaps often. But is that display accidental? Is that display even doctrinal? Or have you fallen victim is societal love. We experience love when we are saved. But some of us could not reproduce love if our lives depended on it. If life remains ignorant regarding the subject of love, problems will occur. We can see this by the way we treat our fellow man, the lack of church growth, or our diminished relationship with Christ. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? If you can't reproduce this love, it is my goal to remind you where to find meaning in the word love. Quick question. Do I really know how to love? Or when I show love, is it on accident? When you find yourself saying, I love you, or I love someone, ask yourself, is this really love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7, identifying love. Charity, love, agape, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity, love, agape, envieth not. Charity, love, agape, vaunteth, boasteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, taken to no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Societal love is directly related to the belief that love comes naturally. From the very moment of birth, we're trying to learn to love, to be loved, and to move closer to the ultimate source of love. But things keep getting in our way. Our need to start our love journey does not stop the moment we are saved, or when God delivers us from what seems to be our deepest valleys. Once saved, we know very personally the ultimate source of love. I do. We still have to keep learning to love and learning how to give away that love. God commands this. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Agape. In all probability, we will all have many valleys in our life. And every time God intervenes, our love relation with him can be strengthened. In fact, our desire should be to face these valleys with God and do it more often. Nowhere does the Bible tell us when to stop loving, take a break from loving, nor does it tell us when to stop learning how to love. If one denies the fact that we do not naturally know how to love, I can see why the atheist, agnostic, or humanist think God is sadistic. I see why they are bitter, rigid, unloving people. When God says the saved go to heaven and the unsaved go to hell because they knew me not, But once we learn what agape really is, we do not see the soul separation as sadistic or unfair. Rather, words of faith, hope, and charity take its place. By the way, soul separation is one of the highest displays of love. Once we learn to love, we truly can say, I would lay my life down for my brother. Or we truly can say, I love you, even if it is to a complete stranger. I know this was short, but this is my conclusion. I want you to remember two things. One, we must constantly be learning to love. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Let me summarize. Jesus was saying, you can tell they are mine by the way they love each other, you and me. Second thing, know that agape is shown through doing. If knowing love were good enough to get us into heaven, Jesus would not have died the death that he did. Let's all turn to John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. Find that scripture real quick. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. And we all know that this is Peter's restoration into the ministry. Notice Jesus cooking for Peter before asking him these three questions. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest agape thou me more than these? Peter saith unto Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love phileo thou thee. Jesus saith unto Peter, feed my lambs. Jesus saith unto him again, Simon, son of Jonas, loveth agape thou me? Peter saith unto Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love phileo thee. Jesus said unto Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest phileo thou me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, lovest phileo thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love phileo thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Right here in this verse, I think Jesus was making Peter think about the love Peter had in his heart. Jesus was telling Peter, agape, not just really, really like, is what it takes to shepherd my sheep. Jesus wanted Peter to be ready to tell the world there is an ultimate love. There is something to back up the word love. I know him. Would you like me to tell you about him? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now these three remaineth: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It is that intense, fervent, agape love that we are commanded to have one towards another and give back to God. So no matter what the world thinks, no matter what the world thinks, love means you tonight and spread the word. Never, never, ever, never, ever, ever forget that love is shown through loving. Love is shown through loving the way Jesus commanded us to. I love you, and God bless.